So, few comments. So, well, obviously we've missed three classes and my apologies. I'm going to do a Monday class today. Today is the last formal class of the semester. So I'll do a Monday class today because there is something on the Monday materials that I really, really, really must say. Okay? And a Friday class on Monday because there is something in the Friday materials that is clearly missing. I don't really must say it, but it will be a shame not to say it. And we'll skip the last Wednesday class. So some signs are still not quite right, but it's essentially only signs that is left. Okay? Okay. Homework 9 is due today. There will be no homework 10. I hope to have a discussion about grading at the end of the hour, though at least two of the potential sides are not present, so I don't know what will happen. Okay. Next week, I haven't decided yet on the day, maybe Monday, I don't know, I will start holding some summer meetings, but it will be different style. So we will have a once a week meeting. It will be hopefully over lunchtime if we can schedule a time good for everybody, with brown bag lunch and then a discussion. And the idea is to continue. There is lots and lots of other things to say. And I will say some things, and possibly other people will say some things at different times. And it's not a formal class. It will be just for fun. Okay? And let's start with today. So the thing I wanted to say was, well, when I advertised the class, I said, here is a completely general problem, a completely general question that even makes sense for arbitrary groups, but completely arbitrary generality, and has as an example the Taylor theorem, maybe you remember, okay? But then I went on and started asking a different question about knot theory, meaning finite type invariants, etc. And I wanted to emphasize that this is exactly the same thing at the end. That it is the same thing at the end. So I kind of skipped because I wanted to talk about knot invariants rather than algebra. But let's go back to the algebra at the very beginning. So the algebra at the very beginning was as follows. We had a ring K, an ideal I in it, and we did something to them. But often, K is the group ring of some group, meaning formal linear combinations of elements of the group, and I is the augmentation ideal, so it's the set of all linear combinations of elements in the group, so that the sum of coefficients is equal to zero. Okay? But this, it doesn't have to be the case. And then actually one example we did was the ring R was C infinity, I was functions vanishing at zero, and then the rest of the discussion turned out to be a discussion of the Taylor theorem. Okay? So, anyway, given a ring and an ideal, there is always something that's called the associated graded of K, or in fact, it's the completed associated graded of K, which is I to the zero, which is defined to be the ring itself, divided by I to the 1, plus I to the 1 divided by I to the 2, plus I to the 2 divided by I to the 3, and so on. Just remember that if you have a ring, then I to the 0 is a bigger, if you have an ideal, then I to the 0 is a bigger ideal, it's just the whole ring, and I is potentially a bit smaller. I squared would be an even smaller ideal, I cubed would be an even smaller ideal, and so on. And then again, instead of taking the sum, I take the infinite sum. Okay? The completed sum. So here it is in a different language. And then we said an expansion is a map going from K to Gur of K, such that Well, the way I wrote it back in the first hour was such that if gamma is an element of the ideal to the n, then z of gamma is, well, it should be an infinite sequence, and what I want it to be is a sequence beginning with n minus, no, with, I don't know how, it starts at zero? Yeah. So with n zeros, and then at degree n, it should have the equivalence class of gamma inside I to the n modulo I to the n plus 1, and after that I don't care. There's actually a more elegant way to say it. Okay? The more elegant way is the following. So, in general, a filtered vector space, so a filtered vector space V is a vector space that comes, or in fact I'm talking now about decreasing filtrations. So it's a vector space V that comes with a decreasing sequence of subspaces. Typically the vector space will be infinite dimensional, and then this will be an infinite sequence. Okay? And then the associated graded of a filtered vector space is the direct sum of Vn modulo Vn plus 1. And I wanted to say two things about the associated graded. So first of all, GUR, this operation of taking the associated graded, is in itself a functor. Well, I haven't used the word functor yet, I think, in this class, but my assumption is that everybody knows what a category is and what functors are. So, GUR is in itself a functor. So, in other words, if you have a pair of vector spaces, V, which is equal to V0, which contains V1, which contains V2, so sorry, a pair of filtered spaces, and W, which is W0 containing W1, containing W2, and so on, and you have a map T from V to W, which respects the filtration. So it maps V0 to W0, and its restriction to V1 maps inside W1. Its restriction to V2 maps into W2, and so on. Okay? So the claim is that in that case, you get a GUR T, which goes from GUR V into GUR W. Okay, and it's kind of obvious once you think about it, it's tautological. Basically, you map V2 modulo V3 to, well, V2 gets mapped to W2, and, well, it works. Okay? So that's point number one. And point number two is that GUR V is, again, filtered. So basically, what is GUR V? It's V0 mod V1, direct sum V1 mod V2, direct sum V2 mod V3. And you can filter it by declaring that the sub K piece is the direct sum starting from the kth summand. So that's again a decreasing filtration. If you start from the zero summand, you get everything. If you start from the first summand, you get less. If you start, and so on. Okay? So GUR is again filtered, so you can apply GUR a second time. So, and GUR of GUR V is GUR V. So applying GUR a second time does nothing. So basically, if I look at the sum of everything starting from here on, modulo the sum starting from here on, I just killed everything from here on, and I'm left with V2 mod V3, so I'm left with what I started from. Okay? So, now, an expansion is a map from K to Ger K. I should have said filtration respecting. Otherwise, Ger Z doesn't even make sense. So implicitly, when I say, when I even write Ger Z, I mean so that the functor can be applied. So it's filtration respecting. And then Ger of Z will be a map from Ger K to Ger Ger K, which is K. So it's a map from Ger K to itself, and I want it to be the identity. So that's a completely natural condition. It's almost as natural as you can think of. And it expands to the condition written here. And finally, an expansion is called homomorphic if it respects products. So, one can easily show that if K is a ring and I is an ideal, then Ger of K, so K has a product, then Ger of K also has a product. And in fact, it's a graded product. Because if you look at an element in I3, so basically, if you look at an element in IM modulo I M plus 1, and another element in IP modulo IP plus 1, you can easily produce an element in IM plus P modulo IM plus P plus 1 by mapping the thing you have in I to the M times the thing you have in I to the P. So by mapping the equivalence class of A, tensor, the equivalence class of B, to the equivalence class of AB. Now, if A was in A to the I to the M and B was in I to the P, then A times B will be in I to the M plus P. And you can check that it's well defined, that I'm modeled out by enough to make it well defined. So, so that defines a product on Ger K, and you can ask yourself if an expansion is homomorphic. Does it respect the product? So, even before saying anything more, just sort of a little bit of an aside, finding an expansion in some sense is easy. Well, expansions always exist. Expansions always exist. But homomorphic ones are expensive. Homomorphic ones are valuable, are hard. They don't always exist, they're harder to construct, and so on. So why is it that expansions always exist? So let me just show you why the first statement is true. So very, very briefly, K, as a vector set, vector space, if I forget the fact that it is a ring, if I don't care about being homomorphic, K is isomorphic to K modulo I direct sum I. Well, if you mod out by a subset and then insert a subset back again, you didn't do anything. This completely disregards the multiplicative structure. It's only as a vector set, vector space, sorry. But then this is the same, this is isomorphic to K modulo I, plus now let's do the same to I modulo I squared plus I squared. And then iterate, and you find an isomorphism, well, at least to any finite level, You find an isomorphism from K to the sum of the to the sum of the things appearing in Ger K, And so in particular, you have a map from K to this sum, and then you take the limit of these maps. So expansions always exist, and then you can check that the condition is satisfied. So expansions are always exist, they are far from canonical. I mean, the isomorphism, this isomorphism is far from canonical. So these maps are far from canonical, okay? And it's hard to choose ones that actually also respect the multiplicative structure. Okay, good. What did I want to say? Yeah. Sorry, can you, yeah, I actually want to keep this and erase that, sorry. Okay. Now, okay, so expansions always exist, but somehow the hard thing about expansions is not their existence, even when they're homomorphic, but is to identify their target spaces. So you see, what is this space? What is I to the n modulo I to the n plus 1? It's typically very easy to find an upper bound to I to the n modulo I to the n plus 1. It's typically very easy to find a generating set. How do you generate I to the n modulo I to the n plus 1? Well, you just look at sequences of n elements of the ideal and multiply them, and you get something that generates I to the n, so it also generates this. But it's very hard to tell. So you have a product of n elements of the ideals, of the ideal. How do you decide if it can also be written as a linear combination of products of n plus 1 elements of the ideal? So it's very hard to decide what gets killed once you mod out by I to the n plus 1. Okay? Or more mathematically, it's very easy to find a space that surjects into this. Okay, so an upper bound. But it's very hard to show that this surjection, or generally speaking, it's potentially hard to show that this surjection is injective. So if you want to find a combinatorial description of this space, if you want to actually hold it, it's easy to find, to hold something that maps to it, but it's hard to decide whether the thing you're holding is the right thing. Okay? So let me formalize this. So the next definition is the following. An A expansion, so an A expansion will be a guess A for what ger of K is, along with an expansion valued into the guess. And it turns out that having an expansion valued into the guess proves the guess to be correct. So an A expansion is really an identification of the target space along with the choice of an expansion. But let's make it formal. So an A expansion is the following. One, it's a pair of things. A graded space A, so A is the direct sum of A to the n's, always completed, sorry. So a graded A with a surjection, and of course, okay, with a surjection pi, going from A into ger of K. And of course, I mean graded surjecting, mapping degree n to degree n. Okay? So that's kind of an upper bound for what this will be, right? Because it's A is bigger than ger K. And two, I want a Z going, or maybe I should call it ZA temporarily, going from K into A such that, so let's draw a little picture. So I have K here, a diagram. I have ger K here, I have A here, and it's an upper bound for ger K. And what I want is a Z going this way, such that it will somehow be an inverse of pi. And if it's somehow an inverse of pi, then pi is proven to be an isomorphism, and I'm happy. Okay? But what does it mean, somehow an inverse? Well, take Gur of Za, and it's a map from Gur of K to A. Right? So there is here, there is Gur of Za. And then what I want is that if I, well, pi is already known to be surjective, so if I know that pi followed by Gur Za is the identity, then I'm happy. Okay? So I want such that pi followed by Gur of Za is equal to the identity of A. And by the way, what does this amount to, if you want it sort of in more concrete language? So in more concrete language, it means that if you compute Z of pi of some element A which belongs to A to the N, sorry for this very informal mathematical notation, then the result is, well, a bunch of zeros up to in degree N, you have A itself, and after that a bunch of stars. Okay? Anyway, why is it what is it good for? So why good? So it's good for two reasons. Well, I already told you what the reasons are. Okay? The one, it implies, if you find such a thing, it implies that pi going from A to Gur K is an isomorphism. Basically, it was surjective, it was born surjective. And now we found a composition which gives us the identity of A, which proves that pi is injective. Therefore, it's an isomorphism. But if it's an isomorphism, then A and Gur K can be identified, and Z is a map from K to Gur K, and this condition becomes the condition that it is an expansion. Okay? So, point number two, or let's say differently, if you let Z be Za followed by pi, then Z is an expansion. Z equals Za followed by pi is an expansion, and the original problem was solved. So again, it appears as if I've done nothing. But really, what I've done is I've decomposed the original problem into finding a guess, A, and then finding something that proves the guess right. Okay? If you remember the way the class, the no-theory part of the class was constructed, was we had a guess, A, for all finite type invariants come from here, and then we constructed Z going from naughts to A, and that somehow proved the guess right. This is the algebra, the abstract algebra behind it. But, sorry, well, this may be the abstract algebra, except what's the ring? What's the... Okay? This is topology, this is algebra, so I have to still connect it. Okay? So, good. So, oops, Eva, I hope this is fine. So, you see, everything generalizes vastly. So, everything generalizes to arbitrary algebraic structures. So what's an algebraic structure in general? Well, an example is a ring or a group, and then you take the augmentation ideal and so on. But examples can be much bigger. So a general algebraic structure is a collection of sets along with a collection of operations between them. So there may be an operation psi 1 going from elements of kind 1 to elements of kind 2. and then maybe there is also an operation going this way. Maybe there is also a binary operation. So this is my notation, but it means you take one element of this kind and one element of that kind with output in that kind. Maybe there is more than one binary operation. Maybe there is a binary operation that takes an element from here, an element from here, and produces back an element from here. I don't know. Okay? So that's an algebraic structure. Oh, and now, actually, you can also have constants, like in a group, the identity. But I didn't really have to say it, because these are just nullary functions. Functions with no inputs and a single output. So since I'm allowing, I should have said I'm also allowing operations with more than two inputs. They don't have to be binary. I could start from here, and here, and here, and have an output here. Okay? So there might be also constants, and now the definition is more or less complete for a general algebraic structure. Now, examples, just to be clear, just to show you that there are plenty and plenty and plenty. So, examples, groups, but of course also just monoids. I mean, for the definition, I didn't need to state the axiom. So, I mean, equally well, I could have said monoid or even less. A group homomorphism. So a group homomorphism is in itself an algebraic structure. So if you have a map from a group G to a group H, it means that you have two sets of objects, and then a binary operation from here to here, a binary operation from here to here, and a unary operation from here to here. Maybe with axioms, I didn't say anything about axioms. Okay? A group action. So what's a group action? You have a group H and a group G acting on it. So you have a binary operation here, a binary operation here, and a binary operation that takes something from here and something from here and produces something here. a category. So what's a category? Gee, I don't know. Objects, and then for every pair of objects. So basically, lots and lots and lots of sets of morphisms. And if you have a morph, and for sometimes, like maybe for between this set of, so if these are the morphisms from A to B, and these are the morphisms from B to C, and these are the morphisms from A to C, then there is a binary operation from here to here. Okay, so a category is an algebraic structure whose sets of things, of elements, are the sets of morphisms of the category. And, gee, I could give you a zillion other examples, but I'll stop. Now, all the definitions in the blackboard that got erased and in this blackboard still make sense. So, okay, what's an ideal? An ideal in a ring is something so that, in fact, it's something so that the quotient would make sense. And that's the same definition here. But really, an ideal is something so that if you multiply something in the ideal by something else, you're still in the ideal. So, an ideal in a general algebraic structure will be a subset of each of the sets. Okay, actually, that's just a sub-object. A sub-object will be a subset of each of the sets, which is closed under the operations. it's an ideal if, in addition, if you start from an element in the ideal here and the general element here, and then you multiply them, you get something in the ideal here. Okay? And I want this to be true for all operations. Now, okay, once you have an ideal, you can square it. What's the square of the ideal? You basically square it using all available operations. So an element here will be in the square of the ideal if you can write it as something from the ideal here multiplied by something in the ideal here multiplied by an arbitrary thing here using this triple product, or using any other way, or in any other way, so that at least two of your inputs are in the ideal. Something in the ideal to the power 7 is all things that can be written using the operations so that at least 7 of your inputs are in the ideal. Okay? Associated great. Okay. To define the associated greater, I mean to take quotients. So I should have added either of two things. Either I should have insisted that all of these spaces be linear, and then all the operation multilinear, and then everything just becomes linear algebra instead of just set theory as I've described it. Or I could have brute forced it, just like the way you brute force the group to be a ring by looking at the group ring. So in other words, I could look at, I could start from a not necessarily linear algebraic structure and allow formal linear combinations of elements of the same kind, extend all operations to be multilinear in the obvious way, and then look at the associated gradient. So that's like looking at the group ring. Okay? In fact, even though in this sense, even the augmentation ideal always makes sense. The augmentation ideal is just the sub is the ideal where in each subset you look only at the formal linear combinations whose sum of coefficients is equal to 0. Associated gradient then makes sense, the word expansion makes sense, the word homomorphic expansion makes sense, and even all of this construction makes sense. Okay? So let's talk about the one example that I care about today. Now, I have to tell you that this example later get refined and massaged and improved and blah, 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 but I'm giving you the most basic version of this example. So, framed tangles. Framed tangles. So, this is a category with objects, sequences of up arrows and down arrows. So sequences, several up arrows and then some down arrows and then maybe another up arrow. But sequences like that. And more interesting is what are the morphisms. So the morphisms are so maybe I'll just draw a morphism. So a morphism is something that looks like this. So a kind of knot drawn within a rectangular box. Okay, such that at the bottom you see one object, at the top you see another object. In this case, I guess both are two up arrows. And I should have said that it doesn't have to be everything starts at the bottom and ends at the top. So I could have, you know, a something that starts at the top and ends at the top. And in fact, I can even have components that lie completely inside. So this is now a morphism from two up arrows to up, up, down, up. Okay? Sorry, I read my morphisms from the bottom to the top. Okay, so these are the morphisms. You can clearly compose such things. So if you have two such pictures and the top of one matches the bottom of the other, you can just stack them on top of each other. And of course, I mean modulo Rademeister moves. And finally, I said framed. So what I mean by framed is that there is a normal vector drawn everywhere. And by convention, I will declare that the normal vectors, when they are at the boundary, at the edge, they always go to the right of the arrow, to the right of the direction of flow. So, you know, if it's, you know, that's left. Sorry, so, okay, so there's no issue with composition. So, but I want everything framed. Okay. Now, okay, so that's an algebraic structure with many different compositions because it's a category. Okay? Now, let I be the ideal generated by overcrossing minus undercrossing. Okay? There are other ways of saying it. In fact, it's almost the augmentation ideal. Not quite. Let me explain. What does it mean? Suppose you mod out by this ideal. What do you have left? So, if you mod out by this ideal, you can flip every crossing. Okay? So what you have left has no topology. It's only combinatorics. So what you have left is just the bijection, or more precisely, the pairing of the endpoints that is given by which one connects to which. Okay? So that's not quite the, sorry, and also the number of closed components. That's not quite the augmentation ideal. In the augmentation ideal, the augmentation ideal would be different, would be generated by all differences, not just differences of things that have the same skeleton. Okay? Now, you can modify the definition of this category a little bit, and then it becomes the augmentation ideal, but I don't want to waste time on it. Okay? So anyway, this is the ideal. Now, what is... what is I to the n? So, what is I to the n? So one way of saying what it is, one way of saying what it is it's tangles with n double points. But it's not, this is a bit wrong. So, first of all, what's a tangle with n double points? It's a tangle in which you took n of the crossings and wrote them as double points instead of crossings. And this really represents, well, you expand every double point to be over minus under. Okay? So it represents a combination of four things. So what did I want to say? Things like that, or the images of pictures like this, clearly generate I to the n. Anything in I to the n can be written in this form. It's not I to, I mean, it's two, there are relations. I mean, there may be things in I to the n that can be written in this way in more than one way. Okay? So, I mean, it's not inequality, but this disease generate that. Okay, anyway, regardless, what is T, or more precisely FT, modulo I to the n plus 1, actually, what's the dual of that? So this will be, well, functions on tangles that vanish on tangles with n plus 1 double points. So that's exactly finite type invariance. So this is what we called before invariant of type n plus 1. And then you can check by sort of silly linear algebra that In modulo I to the n plus 1, which is the key thing that happens inside associated gradients, so, well, not it, but its dual is really, well, okay, it's Vn modulo V to the n plus 1. So you see, I mean, we said it at some point. We said it in a different language. Okay? So really, if you have an invariant of degree n, it defines a functional on knots with n double points, which does not see knots with n plus 1 double points. And furthermore, okay, so there is a map from Vn into here, but this map maps Vn plus 1 to 0. Okay, so the weight system of a type, this is what we call the weight system. So the weight system of a type n invariant is a function along this, and it knows about finite type invariants, except it doesn't see the even higher degree finite type invariants. So this is exactly something that we talked about all along. So, okay. So now we can have a guess.
Sorry, shouldn't it be n plus 1 over n?
No, this is right.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Is n plus 1 finite type and n finite type?
No, I think this is right. Again, so an invariant of type n is a functional on this, and if you have something of type n plus 1, it is the zero functional. I think this is right. Something bothers me too, you were right. Something does bother me. No! No! It's n minus 1!
Okay.
Sorry. Things of type n minus 1 get killed in I to the n. On I to the n. Get killed when viewed as... Okay. I blundered. Sorry. But anyway, I mean, right, when we studied Vn by induction, we ended up studying this. This is what we called, or we had a conjecture for it, and we called it An. But this suggests, and it was took a long, long time to prove that the conjecture is right. Okay? But anyway, now we have a suggestion for a conjecture for what is GERT. Okay? I guess this also tells you that sort of, again, it's easy to find upper bound on I to the n, but finding what I to the n modulo I to the n plus 1 is hard. So, anyway, the guess is, okay, that GER will be equal to A, where A is the collection of all diagrams that look like, so basically do the construction that we had in the class, except instead of a skeleton being for a knot, make a skeleton for a tangle. So this is the skeleton, and now put cords in between. I mean, they, you know, things like that, where the number of cords is the degree. okay? And mod out by the 4T relation. It makes sense here just as well. There should be a map pi from our guess A into grr of tangles, well, frame tangles. What's the map? Well, basically, it will the map. It will be the map that will map locally a piece of the skeleton connect two ends connected by a cord to an overcrossing minus an undercrossing. Okay? The map, so the way that I'm specifying the map, okay, sorry, so, or in other words, it's the map which maps a chord diagram to, well, okay, this is what you would also represent by that. So it's a map which maps a chord diagram to the singular note, to a singular note that has this chord diagram as its kind of underlying combinatorics. Now, the map is not fully specified because, you know, you sort of do it locally, but then you still have to connect the ends in some way. Right, you have crossings or double points inside your rectangle, but you still have to connect their points, their endpoints somehow. How? There are choices, but modulo I to the n plus one, it doesn't matter which choices you make. So it's well defined into the associated graded. It's not well defined into tangles. It's not a map from A into T, but it is well defined into the associated graded. And then you can check that the calculations we did to prove the 4T relation on weight systems translate to that pi is well defined modulo 4T, annihilates 4T, maps 4T to zero in the associated graded. So A is a candidate associated graded. And then to prove that A is the correct associated graded, we need an A expansion. But what's an A expansion? It's a map from tangles into chord diagrams with some property. But that's exactly what we did all this whole semester. So this is what we call, this is what we called, sorry for the density here, a universal finite type invariant, and that's exactly what we worked hard on. Now I have to say, okay, how much time do I have? None. Which is exactly right. So, okay, several things. First of all, strictly speaking, we didn't resolve the problem for tangles. We only resolved it for knots. So this whole, you know, this whole construction restricts to the case where the tangle has no inputs and no outputs and a single connected component, and then it's the case of knots, and that's the only case we did. With some further work, not much further work, you can construct a universal finite type invariant for tangles. It will not be homomorphic. Sorry, it will be homomorphic. Sorry, I take it back. It will be homomorphic, but it will have, sorry, the reason for my mistake is that I use a slightly different algebraic structure. So for this algebraic structure, it will be homomorphic, but it will be missing a substantial property. Okay? So basically, it will be homomorphic relative to horizontal composition, sorry, vertical compositions, but not relative to horizontal compositions. So, you know, there is another operation on tangles, which I didn't even bother to state here, which is to horizontal compose. So, if you have a pair of tangles, this one and that one, their horizontal composition will be to just put them side by side, rather than vertically. And the expansion that you can construct using Chern-Simons theory will not be homomorphic relative to that. And then you can start now this is a huge loss, by the way, because instead of having with horizontal compositions, you have a tiny number of generators and tiny number of relations. If you don't allow horizontal compositions, you need a large number of generators and relations. So if you wanted to compute Z, you need to know it on all generators. Here, it's hard. Here it would be easy, except it doesn't exist. So there is a whole huge discussion about how to replace the category of tangles, which is also spiced up with horizontal compositions, by something which still has more or less the same structure and has a and is still very has a very small number of generators. At the end, you land inside so-called parenthesized tangles, which are generated by just a crossing and by the so-called associativity. And then you have to find values only for the crossing and the associator, and the thing here that does the associativity, and that's the beginning of a long, long, long story that hopefully some of it will be covered over the summer. Okay? Did I have to say anything else? No. Okay.